In the last studies on the Psalms, I explained why I have become persuaded that the hymns we should be singing in the church are the Psalms, and which are the Old Testament's, the Old Testament church's gift to the new. Why, I now ask myself, would I want to sing the uninspired words of man in place of the inspired words of God? Put like that, I have no difficulty in just singing from the Book of Psalms. Well, I'd like to move on now and tonight to consider the regulative principle. Then we won't have time tonight, but next time, musical instruments as part of worship, and finally, the history of psalming. Well, the regulative principle. This has been expressed in these three simple statements. First, we must not do anything that God forbids in His Word concerning His worship. We must not do anything that God forbids in His Word concerning His worship. Second, we must do everything that God commands in His Word concerning His worship. And third, we must not add to or take away from what He commands or forbids in His Word concerning His worship. The bedrock of the regulative principle is found in the second commandment. Second commandment, to remind us all, says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." And that's taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. These verses are interpreted to mean that the worship of God is to be exactly as God directs and no different, which is what we find in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. That reads as follows: "What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." Add to it, don't detract from it. This verse provides the third statement of the regulative principle set out above. An example of adding to the command of God in worship is the sad tale of Nadab and Abihu, which illustrates this principle. We read in Leviticus 10, verse 1, that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them as his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And they went out far from the Lord, and devour them, and they died before the Lord. Verse 3 continues. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. The Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs, who lived between 1599 and 1646, commenting on Leviticus 10, verse 3, in his book Gospel Worship, wrote this: "In God's worship, there must be nothing tendered up to God but what He has commanded. Whatsoever we meddle with in the worship of God must be what we have a warrant for out of the Word of God. All things in God's worship must have a warrant, must have a justification out of God's Word. It must be commanded. It's not enough that it is not forbidden. Such things as seem to be very small and little to us, yet God stands much upon them in the matter of worship, for there is nothing wherein the prerogative of God more appears than in worship. In other words, it is for God to determine how he is worshipped and not us, to put it simply. Jorge Ruiz Ortiz helpfully identified a number of restrictions in the Old Testament. First, sacrifices could only be offered at the place of the Lord's appointment. And we read this in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills, and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose, out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, forasmuch as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself, that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of the tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. The people then were not permitted to offer their sacrifices in the high places, and that became one of Judah's sins. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, we read, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. But unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushta. So you see that there were very clear restrictions on what the people of Israel could and couldn't do in relation to worship, in particular where they could worship, and indeed how. Secondly, the priests responsible for the altar could only come from the tribe of Levi. Hence, when Uzziah attempted to burn incense before the Lord, leprosy rose up in his forehead. You find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 19. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 12, the Lord, through Isaiah, reprimanded the people for worshipping in a way that God had not ordained. Who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? The Lord said. The Lord answered. Fourth, let me just see another one. Uzzah's death in 2 Chronicles 15, verses 12 and 13, when he tried to steady the ark, was as a result of not doing what God commanded. You read that. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whosoever would not seek the Lord, God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. In the New Testament, all the ceremonial laws have been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so should not be reintroduced without diminishing the glory of the new. Hence Paul warned the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of any holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Then there's Hebrews 7, verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change of the law. And verse 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. And then in chapter 8, verse 13, in that he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first law. Sorry, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Also Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. When it comes to worship, we need to distinguish between the moral and ceremonial aspects to it. Note that the inspired song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15, that was a song about their deliverance from Egypt and their the victory over Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea. Now that song predated the ceremonial law given on Mount Sinai. What does that tell us? If it predated the giving of the ceremonial law, doesn't that suggest that worship is part of the moral law, not the ceremonial law? And that's what you'd expect, isn't it? You'd be very surprised if the principle of worship was actually only part of the ceremonial, which had passed away. We will see more of this when we consider musical instruments. Before closing this section, let me quote from John Knox, who spent most of his time, most of his time. His 5 years in exile, in Geneva, between 1554 and 50:59. This is what he had to say. Disobedience to God's voice is not only when men do it widely contrary to the precepts of God, but also when of good zeal or good intent, as we commonly speak. Men do it anything to the honor or service of God, not commanded by the express word of God. And that is principal idolatry, when our own inventions we defend to be righteous in the sight of God, because we think them good, laudable, and pleasant. We may not think us so free nor wise, but we may, unto God and unto his honor, we may do unto God and unto his honor what we think expedient. In other words, doing as we consider expedient, what we think is correct, rather than what God says is correct. And then consider what John Owen wrote: that the church hath power to institute and appoint anything or ceremony belonging to the worship of God, either as to matter or to manner, in other words, introducing any matter, anything to be done, or any new way of doing it, beyond the orderly observance of such circumstances as necessarily attend such ordinances, as Christ himself have instituted, lies at the bottom of all the horrible superstition and idolatry, of all the confusion, blood, and persecution and wars that have for so long a season spread themselves over the face of the Christian world. I'd just like to pause there, because the next section is musical instruments, and I don't want to move on to consider musical instruments if there are some of us here who haven't understood the regulatory principles. So I'm going to stop the recording there and allow anyone who would like to ask questions.